You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook.
Right, before we get to baseball, just a couple of quick updates. One, and we'll be tracking this next week because I'm expecting some kind of ruling or decision to be made. It does seem, Craig, like the support for a 9-game SEC schedule, at least at the outset of Texas and Oklahoma joining the conference, is dwindling. So you could see them go to an 8-game schedule. Now, here's why. If the SEC goes to a 9-game schedule, then that's more quality game inventory, which then the league will want more money from ESPN, who's going to be the exclusive media rights partner for football and men's basketball.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is ESPN, now granted, they're paying Pat McAfee a bunch of money, and they've got salaries to Troy Aikman and Joe Buck and Stephen A. Smith. But they're also having massive layoffs right now, Disney is, and ESPN's impacted by that, and they don't necessarily want to fork over more cash than they have earmarked right now. So I think initially you could see, if it's an 8-game schedule like we've talked about, then you're going to go to the model where you just play one permanent opponent per year, and then you're going to rotate the other 7 opponents, which in that case for Texas, from everything we've heard at Horns 24/7, you get to Horns 24/7, we got plenty more on the SEC schedule because we don't have time to get into all of it here. The permanent opponent for Texas, from my understanding, would be Oklahoma, and then they would rotate everybody else. So you'll get Texas A&M in football at some point. There's just a growing possibility that it might not be in 2024 or 2025.
Very interesting if it happens that way.
So it does seem like they're, and maybe for the first few years, I don't know, I would think at some point they're going to be able to go to a 9-game schedule. But it does seem like, which, if you're a Texas fan or Oklahoma fan, just get your head wrapped around for the 24 and 25 seasons.
Maybe an 8-game schedule?
You're probably going to have, if that's the case, you're probably going to have an FCS team on the schedule.
It'll be
no way to avoid it.
Texas will be drawn into cupcake.
Yes, just no way to avoid it at that point.
You can play a Division I. I mean, Massachusetts is a Division
I
program.
Yeah, but at that, you're finding independence. It'd be really hard to schedule an FBS opponent.
Late in the season like that, too, when they do that. Yep.
So maybe Texas is playing, I don't know, UIW or pick your FCS school.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tarleton.
Yeah.
Or is Tarleton going to the – I don't know where Tarleton is right now. Conference realignment. Tarleton's going to the Southland, aren't they? Are they already there?
They're in the WAC.
Okay, well, never mind.
Yeah, they're in the WAC. Speaking of which,
basketball note, real quick. Sorry,
yes.
Craig. The dead period ends at midnight tonight.
Okay.
So starting tomorrow, colleges can host recruits. For Texas, it still looks like Caleb Love, the North Carolina transfer, is pretty high up on the board. Cam Spencer, the Rutgers transfer, both guards, by the way. Pretty high up on the board for Texas. It's interesting, really interesting name popped up in the transfer portal, or at least announcing he's going into the portal yesterday. Tyler Burton from Richmond, who's still in the NBA draft pool, by the way. The 31st, next Wednesday, is the deadline for that. It's been reported by a couple of different outlets that Tyler Burton, when he goes into the portal, right, 6'7" wing, really talented scorer for Richmond. It's been reported, Craig, that he's going to go into the portal with a do not contact tag, which means one of two things. One, either he already knows where he's going, or two, he only wants contact with certain schools. In other words, he doesn't want the flood of schools contacting him. He'll basically, don't call me, I'll call you, kind of thing. So it could be one or the other, but I can tell you Texas was doing due diligence on him yesterday, has been doing due diligence. Could see something there, but I think over the next 24 to 48 hours we'll figure out where things are, including what if there is a no contact tag, what exactly it means.
Okay. So with regard to your deal about the SEC scheduling, somebody said, I don't understand why they can't go to 4 pods of 4. That means you'd play the same 3 people every year, and then – from each other product. They had a 9-game schedule, so every 2 years everyone would get to play everyone. The way I understood it is it doesn't work the pods with the three-team rotating with 16 teams in the league.
Yeah.
There's four teams per pod, but remember, you're playing three and that it doesn't work in a 16. That's the way I had it explained to me.
I think it was about a year ago, around the SEC meetings last year, where it was everybody reported coming out of that deal that pods were off the table.
Yep. That wasn't going to happen that way. So, yeah, we'll continue to follow it and see why it, see what would be there. With regard to Coastal Bend, somebody said Sinton played there last night, lost 1-0. Adrian Allen, he said they left 12 runners on base. Hopefully that was just game one there for Sinton, for Adrian's team. Their APD number one about my deal with the Texas Jam said championship levels of dehydration. It really was. So, yeah. And Bruce said, can the real Craig Wade please stand up? I was 18 years old at the time. I didn't even know.
Craig, as you get into an advanced age, if you start having problems that require a trip to the urologist, blame it on Texas Jam.
Yeah, 1979, June of 79.
It'll all get traced back to there.
Yeah. Fortunately, I haven't had that issue. And somebody else pointed out, Sammy was with Montrose. He was never able to sing for much more than an hour. Yeah, because he was driving it. Listen to some of the music of Montrose to hear some good rock. Yeah, that's very true. With regard to baseball, and again, we'll find out, obviously, on Monday morning what the regional release is.
We'll find out Sunday. Right.
We'll find out who the regional hosts are Sunday. Yeah. That's for sure. So it'll be Sunday night. Those will be, and I think that's just going to be a crawl across the bottom of the screen, probably in a softball telecast, a super regional.
I think it was an online deal last year.
They did it both. They did a dual release on that. So there's that. So you'll probably find out on that. Jeff mentioned D1 Baseball did update their regional projections, but the updated ones still list Texas playing in Stanford as the 2 seed, with UC Santa Barbara the 3, and, oh, there's somebody they know, San Jose State as the 4. These updated ones, for example, shifted Kansas State from Gainesville, Florida to Kentucky. See, and again, there seems to be more logical flexing about with the threes than the twos. The twos, there's a lot more heading out west or heading east or whatever with regard to that. And in the Baseball America projections, as we said, they've got Texas in Auburn, Alabama. The ones to continue to watch during the weekend to see, you see teams like Kentucky and Alabama that took losses. Auburn is listed is where Texas would be in that one. Now, you also have to keep an eye on bid stealers. It could happen again, although the amount is going to be low, and the ones that would be bid stealers may come really from leagues that only the champion is going to come. And I submit to you the WAC. Grand Canyon won the WAC by one half game over Sam Houston because they played one less conference game. They got a rain out, and they had one less loss than the Bearcats. So they were the one seed. Sam Houston was the two. Sam Houston took an early loss in the tournament. Now they battled their way back. They got an elimination game today against Abilene Christian. On the other side of the bracket is Grand Canyon. They had won their first game. They had to play a UTA team that had lost its first game to UTRGV, which has since been eliminated. Then UTA came back and had to play two games yesterday. They eliminated Seattle, and then late last night, yes, I saw the end of it, UTA beat Grand Canyon 6-5. Among the heroes for the Mavericks, who came out of the bullpen to pitch a scoreless 8, stop me if the name sounds familiar, Caden Noah, a one-time Longhorn pitcher from Longview. Yeah. He pitched a scoreless 8. They held on. They won 6-5. So now what has to happen is it will be Grand Canyon. UTA has to play, I the winner, I think it is, of Grand Canyon and somebody else. And then they're on one side of the bracket, and then Sam Houston and Abilene Christian on the other side of the bracket. So you could wind up with a bid stealer there, although it isn't a bid stealer in the truest sense of the word, because that league looks like it's only going to get its tournament champion in anyway. Grand Canyon got in as an at-large last year. Remember when New Mexico State won the league? Doesn't appear that that's going to happen this time around.
What about the Missouri Valley with Indiana State?
Yeah, that would be a bid steal. Well, Missouri State is a team that if they were to win it, then that would be a bid stealer. They were right on the cusp for a little while ago, but probably, yes. Indiana State's going to get in regardless.
Okay.
They're listed as a host right now on D1. Now, if they wind up not winning the Valley, then they're probably going to, they're not going to be a regional host, but they would still get in the field. So I think you keep an eye on that today.
Yeah, Missouri State, Murray State, by the way, in that semifinal in the Missouri Valley, they're underway right now. They started at 10.
Yeah. And then Dallas Baptist is still rolling along in the Conference USA tournament. UTSA is done. It's a shame for them because they had it rolling for a while. They're not even going to be. They kind of suffered the same fate that Texas State has been suffering down the stretch. Mm-hmm. Texas State's still alive, but they've got to win some more. I think if they were to win against Louisiana tonight and then beat Coastal twice to get to the Sun Belt tournament final and play like a Troy in the tournament final or Southern Miss, then they might have a shot to get back in on the at-large if there isn't too much bid stealing going on. But they definitely got to win at least three more games, and the pitching is starting to get a little lean now.
Can I say something positive for Texas right now? I do like the fact, and, when you get into regional play, especially if you're in the position Texas is with your staff, your starters and your bullpen, just your pitching staff being what it is right now, especially if – no Heston Toll, no David Shaw. You're losing two good bullpen hands. I like the fact that now with LeBaron, with LBJ's emergence, the fact that I'm not taking anything away from Lucas Gordon at all, but the fact that, you might struggle with that decision. Okay, do you throw your number one guy in the opener? Do you save him for two? I don't think David Pierce has to worry about that because you can just go, Geno that first game, follow him up with LBJ.
You're
just keep the rotation what it is, and I think you're fine. Like, you feel like you can go win both games.
And
because those, going back to what we talked about in the first hour, those two guys gave you a chance to win both the games you lost the last 2 days.
Going on a day's less rest. They're both going to have bonus rest for the regional. Two extra days. Mm-hmm. And that's where I like their chances with Lucas Gordon in game one and LeBaron Johnson in game two. I do.
You got to stay in the winner's bracket, not just because of your bullpen situation. If you can keep Tanner Witt in a rhythm, in a routine, keep him on schedule, that's going to benefit you all that much more.
That's what really hurt Oklahoma in the Big 12 tournament last night. It looked like with Peyton Carmichael, they were rolling, and that they were going to – he had a 5-0 lead handed to him, but as Skip Johnson pointed out, they didn't get their outs on time. Yeah. Made mistakes and errors. Tech comes back and wins. Now Oklahoma, which is a bubble team on the plus side, but nevertheless a bubble team, is going to have to beat
of the 64 at large that D1 has. Oklahoma 62. So
that's bubblicious.
Rip right there.
Yeah, absolutely.